It's not just a show. It's a movement. You're listening to News for the Soul, the number one life-changing radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL, and the largest free life-changing audio resource on the web. We feature the top luminaries in the evolution of human consciousness and have kept all of our shows all free, all of the time, for the world to hear. In a recent listener survey, News for the Soul listeners responded with overwhelming appreciation and praise, which they summarized with this one powerful statement. News for the Soul is not just a show, it's a movement. Go to newsforthesoul.com to see for yourself. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hello everybody, this is Daniel Brinkley. Welcome to the hearts and minds of Enfoldment. This is News for the Soul.
Tonight on the show, James Ray is back. The quote-unquote practical mystic has some tales that are more out on the limb tonight. You're not going to want to miss any of this discussion. Let's go now to our interview with James Ray. Hello.
Claire Whitney.
James Ray.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am just doing outstanding. Busier than busy, which is good.
I can imagine. It's been interesting for you lately.
It's been extremely interesting and getting more interesting all the time, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. The last couple of times we were scheduled to talk, I mean, I had windstorms and power outages and
everything. I know. What's old Whitney doing to herself?
Well, I was starting to think, oh, my God, what if something happens today? I was a little nervous, one eye open, waiting for the phone to ring, just kind of holding my breath. So here we are.
Here we are.
Well, it's been a long time. A lot has happened. I mean, one of the things I wanted to do today, I know you always have interesting things to chat about, but I want to know, and the listeners I'm sure want to know, having gotten to know you for several years on News for the Soul, what it's been like for this whole media frenzy that you've been caught up in. I mean, Oprah, twice. Larry King, 2 times, I believe.
Yeah.
Other stuff, yeah. Mega media.
Well, I'll let you in on a secret, and you heard it first here on News for the Soul. I'm going to be on Oprah on Wednesday the 21st again.
Nice.
That's time number 3.
Wow.
Yeah. Oprah is very passionate about this topic and happens to think that that I and my good brother and best friend Michael Beckwith are great at communicating the topic, so we're both coming back on the 21st again, the 2 of us.
Just the 2 of you again. Wow. That's like, hi, you've won the lottery.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, I mean, my book, The Science of Success, which you and your listeners have known about for years, is on the bestseller list, and so, you know, it's really attributable to what The Secret teaches and more. You know, the secret is amazing, and as you and a lot of your listeners know, because we've had a relationship for a long time, there's, you know, the law of attraction is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more depth and detail, and the good news is, in answer to your question about the media frenzy, is that because The Secret is simple and it's easily accessible for large groups of people, it's exposed my work to the masses, and which allows me to go into greater depth and detail of how to really use that and how the universe works. And so it's a great gift. I'm so excited, you know, that our consciousness is shifting. And as, you know, we all know here on this station, the ancients have predicted it since antiquity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the Mayans, the Incas, the Hopis, the Gnostics, the Hindus, have all told us that the window between 2000 and 2012 was a window of extreme shift in the consciousness of mankind, and it's obvious, it's happening. So how cool is that?
I know. Well, when I was watching the first Oprah, well, and the second one, too, I mean, I just had this heebie-jeebie feeling of that, wow, it's happening. We've gotten into, you know, more bridging, I mean, not just with that, but that was kind of a big thing, but all the movies leading up that were kind of coming out and just leaning, you know, towards the mainstream, getting it or being open and not thinking we're all nuts and crazy.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting is that several years ago, you know, one of the things I share with people now is don't ever share your intention or your dreams with other individuals unless you absolutely know they're going to support you. You know, I held the vision of being on Oprah for over 6 years. You may have heard me talk about it on the first show. And I told very few people that. However, I remember a few years back telling one of my peers, you know, thinking he would support me, you know, telling one of my peers I was going to be on Oprah, and he said to me, "Come on, James, you'll never be on Oprah. You're not mainstream enough." And I didn't say anything, but I thought inside, baby, I'm the new mainstream. You know, and so, you know, you, Nicole, and me, and all of us here on News for the Soul, and others like us, I mean, we're the new mainstream. We're moving into an age, and we're bringing to fruition the ideas that are not new. I mean, these have been around since antiquity and the mystery schools and all the esoteric teaching, and yet we're finally now opening up and realizing that science and mysticism are the same thing. And so it's extremely exciting and rewarding to be a part of that.
It is, and this is the thing. I mean, I look at the collective, just in News for the Soul, the representation of the science community is huge.
Man, yeah.
And they're all saying the same thing, if not more. Sometimes often going more out on a limb than the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, if you look, I as I've said many times, you know, the quantum physicists and the chaos theorists and the biologists are the mystics of the 21st century. You know, I mean, they are now proving through M-theory, which tells us there's 11 parallel universes that operate simultaneously, and the observer effect, which says that you know, we get what we're looking for in our universe. And you know, I mean, Carl Prebrum, a Nobel Prize-winning neurosurgeon, who proves that there's nothing outside of you that isn't your own projection. I mean, these are things that the mystics have known, and, you know, your listeners and you and I and many others have known for a long, long time, but the mainstream wasn't ready to embrace it. And now they're opening their minds to it and recognizing how much power you really have, and that you are indeed God in human form. Not the totality of God, certainly, but God in human form nonetheless, and you're a co-creator of your own universe.
Well, that's the thing, and I think they're not only ready, it seems, to hear that, obviously, I mean, third time back on Oprah, holy cow, but beyond that, there's so much work and foundation that's been laid by everybody doing this work for, you know, decades, and people like who you've been quoting, and many others that you and I know that have, you know, just a huge body of work. Like, it's a no-brainer now, with quantum physics and everything else that's come out, and the foundation that's been laid, it's incredibly exciting. So where do you think this is going to go?
Well, I think, you know, what's happening right now, if you've watched the media, you know, I was on the Today Show, I was on the Morning Show, World News Tonight actually came out and filmed me in my office yesterday, and came to my live event last night and filmed, and I think that's going to air tonight, I'm not certain. But what's happening a lot in the media right now is a lot of skepticism. You know, people want to ask questions like, well, what about September 11th? And what about, you know, the hurricanes and New Orleans and all these things? You know, I mean, and that's cool. And there's not a whole lot of teachers, quite frankly, who have been open to stepping up to that controversy. And, of course, Nicole, you know me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm ready to do that, not from a position, and if you've seen me in the media, I've never been defensive or I've never, you know, attacked anyone or gotten upset. I'm just here to share truth. And what I know is that when people are asking the tough questions or the controversial questions, and in fact, that's the controversial topics is what Oprah's going to center on in our show next week, is my understanding, because we have a social responsibility, I believe, to answer those things.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you're doing anything great in the world, you know, mediocrity is going to always attack greatness, and everything always new ideas go through three phases. First, they're absolutely ridiculed, and then secondly, they're violently opposed, and then third, they're finally accepted as self-evident. Normally, after the opposition dies, is it accepted as self-evident. And so, case in point, you know, when Copernicus came out in the 16th century and told us that the Earth revolved around the sun, that was heresy, you know, because according to the religious leaders at the time, we were the center of God's universe, and we couldn't revolve around the sun, for God's sake. Everything revolved around us. and Copernicus was condemned to hell. You know, but now we know, hey, we do revolve around the sun. And so these ideas, what's happening is we're going to go through this position that's a media frenzy right now that wants to sensationalize and ask the questions about what about cancer and what about, you know, September 11th and what about, you know, World News Tonight was asking me last night, you know, well, did the people in the Twin Towers, were they thinking bad thoughts and that's why they died? You know, and so we're asking the wrong questions. You know, the law of attraction, first of all, is one of the seven laws of the universe. And as you know, Nicole, I put out The Science of Success, my book, The Science of Success, in 1998, and I talked about the seven laws. So if you don't understand the full spectrum, you really don't understand. So we're going to go through all that. And the good news is that there's myself and others who are willing to step up and really help clarify to the general population how these things work and how to reframe and redesign their thinking. And then we're going to start at that point. It'll start to become accepted because what we're asking is the wrong question. It's not, does the law of attraction work? Of course it works. What we need to be asking is, how can we use the law of attraction to better our lives and better the world? And as we begin to ask those questions, which I'm going to be driving home passionately as possible in the current and near future, then we're going to start to see the shift.
And what I was going to say is that, thank God, you're going on and answering the tough questions, because that's, of course, what comes up. Look at the stereotype of the New Age and the positive thinking and you know, making the distinction that it's not that you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing, Nicole, understanding quantum physics, which, as you know, I've studied for over a decade, what physics tells us is that there's always, always going to be as much, quote, positive energy in the world as there is, quote, negative energy. You know, we call those positrons and electrons in physics, and positrons have a positive charge, electrons have a negative charge, and they always equilibrate each other. They're always one for one. And so what that means is that I learned a long time ago that if you're doing great things in the world, and you want people to love you and embrace you, you have to be prepared for a lot of people to hate you and attack you. Now, good, bad, or indifferent, that's the law of polarity. That's how the world works. And so when these skeptics and these attacks are coming about, I get excited because that tells us that we're doing something great in the world.
Absolutely, ruffling the feathers, shaking the apple tree, it's a good thing. But you know what I noticed too is when I was watching the first Oprah and the second, the overwhelming emotional reactions and life changes just from seeing those shows. And these weren't like-minded people. These were people that hadn't heard this information before.
Isn't that exciting?
That was powerful.
I mean, the light bulbs are going on, and it is extremely exciting. You know, I feel so incredibly blessed. My website is just inundated with emails, and there's just great outpouring of testimonials and people who have taken just a piece of the truth and really started to transform their lives. And so, you know, just what's going to happen when they start to understand more comprehensively what they're capable of? I mean, again, that's where we change the collective consciousness, and it's starting to happen.
Absolutely. Now, what was it like sitting with Larry King?
It was intense, you know. Larry's intense. He's very different from Oprah. You know, Oprah's kind of cash and laid back and fun and cool, and Larry's like, man, he's down to business. And so, you know, particularly the very first time I was on, I mean, here I've been on local media many times, but this was the first big national, you know, with that kind of a scope show. And so it was intense, and he's like, you know, starting off, well, you know, we're here tonight to talk about the law of attraction. What is the law of attraction, James? And I'm like, holy smokes, you know, I'm on Larry King. And so, you know, it was funny because I think what you noticed, maybe if you saw me last Thursday night in front of 3,000 people, they came out and shot live remote. Or if you see me on Oprah, is I was a lot more relaxed. I was very intense on the first Larry King, which I can tend to be, and you know me. You know, I can be intense. But but I lightened up a little bit more because I think, you know, you've got to get an intense message across, also with some humor and levity, and it's much more accessible by greater numbers of people.
Absolutely. Well, I know it wasn't just you that was intense on Larry King. That's why I wanted to ask, because I saw the first one. I thought, holy hell, is Larry King beating them on the break or something? I mean, they all look so intense. He looks so serious. But,
yeah.
You know, I think we were all so shocked that, wow, what's happening?
Yeah, Larry King. I mean, it was amazing. Larry King and Oprah Winfrey, you know, I mean, you may have guessed Oprah at some point, you know, because of who she is and kind of her topic. But Larry King, I mean, that was a real massive awakening to say that Larry King would have us on. You know, Alan Colmes had me on his show as well. I mean, so
wow.
It's really incredible to know that, I mean, forerunners like you and News for the Soul, who have been putting out this kind of information for a long, long time, are now being joined by the mainstream media, which is really phenomenal.
Well, and it changes the whole dynamic somewhat, doesn't it? Because, you know, once you're no longer swimming upstream, the entire dynamic has changed, and it sort of begs the question of, you know, what does this mean in the bigger picture right now? And you know how we've had conversations about the duality, when you're creating the duality in the moment that you're creating anything.
Right.
What does this really mean, do you think?
Well, you know, I think I'll use myself as a personal example. You know, right now I feel like the rock star of personal transformation, and the media, some of the media is actually calling me that because I was in six states in the last 6 days. I mean, I'm all over the place, and that's a real blessing, and it's a curse. I mean, a lot, you know, I'm in an airport, people running up to me, they recognize me, in the gym, everywhere, and you say, boy, isn't that great? Well, it's great, and it also kind of sucks sometimes, too, because, you know, I'll give you an example. I needed to get to a meeting at 11 o'clock this morning, and working out for me is very, very important, take care of the body. And so I was busy, a lot of emails this morning, I needed to get some rest, I was speaking late last night. And so, anyway, I finally am jettisoning off to the gym. I'm going to be on a radio show, actually at 10, and then I'm getting picked up by my driver at 11 to run me to L.A., and so I've got to get into the gym and out quick. Well, I run into the gym, and I used to be able to go into the gym and get in and out with no big deal. You know, no one could care less. Well, now I go into the gym, and three people want to come up to me who recognize me and ask me all kinds of questions and get insights. And so, you know, it's great, but it also is kind of challenging because, hey, you know what, I'm in a hurry, and I have a commitment. I need to get a workout, and I need to get out of here, you know. So one of the things that I'm a big advocate of, and this is the law of polarity, and we've talked about this, as you mentioned, Nicole, the duality of things. Sometimes we say we want to manifest certain results in our life, but we want all the heads and not the tails.
Right.
You know, we want to create X amount of dollars, but we only want the picture of George Washington, not the monument on the backside. Well, you're not going to collect that because we are an electromagnetic being, and we've got, I mean, this is scientifically proven, and we've got a pole grounded in spirit and a pole grounded in matter, and everything is dualistic. To the degree you don't have a good relationship with either one of those poles, you decrease your magnetism, spirit and form. To the degree you do not embrace both sides of the coin, heads and tails, or good and quote bad, you decrease your magnetism. I mean, attempt putting a battery into any kind of appliance that only has one pole and see how far you get. You're not going to get anywhere. And so my advocacy is, yes, you can manifest anything you want, but you've got to understand the cost as well. And you've got to realize, I have to realize in that moment where I'm trying to get in and out of the gym and I'm getting to a radio interview at 10 and then jumping in the car, I mean, I've got to realize that when these people are coming up to me, that, quote, negative in the moment is a manifestation or a mirror image of me fulfilling my dreams, hopes, and desires. And to the degree I do that, I develop mastery. You know, I develop mastery because the master is the person who embraces pain and pleasure in the pursuit of his or her purpose.
That's so true, isn't it? Because it's about, you know, like we were saying, it's not about positive thinking. And the whole, you know, consciousness shift on the planet is about being able to embrace the 9/11s and the really tough stuff and do this work and be this way all the time.
Yeah, because, you know, here's the thing. You can't control the waves, but you can learn to surf. I mean, you're going to have challenges in life. That's part of duality. And so, you know, it's not about not having challenges. That's illusion. It's about having challenges and transcending those challenges and embracing those challenges, realizing the good in God in everything. And so when I have really difficult things, like right now, another example in my personal life is that my business has tripled, literally. And I had a very, very healthy business already. It tripled in the last couple of months. And everyone goes, oh, my God, isn't that amazing? Well, yeah, it's amazing, but guess what? My phone systems can't handle the calls anymore. My computer systems are not up to speed. I've outgrown my office space, and I'm currently buying a new space and having to get my whole team moved. We've tripled my staff in a matter of months. And so that's challenging as I globetrot around to run a business remotely that, you know, the infrastructure I need to beef up very, very quickly. So is it great? You know it's great, and I'm very grateful for it. Is it challenging? You bet it is. And so what I have to do if I want to develop mastery is and be in that masterful place is to embrace it all and say, hey, when I'm getting a zillion phone calls and a zillion emails and I've got a zillion decisions to make in a moment, then I have to be grateful for that and say, this is me fulfilling my destiny and my mission.
You know, we've had so much mail, James, over the last several months. Every year we've had you on just before your birthday, and you've told the listeners what amazing track you were going to do for your birthday. I had mail this year, just before November, going, what's James doing this year? So I have to ask, what did you do?
Well, you know what? This is such an appropriate question. I stayed home and rested. And, you know, it's so appropriate to what we're talking about here because I love my spiritual journeys, as you know, and I will continue to have them. And yet, in the midst of all the things that are going on, I had originally planned to go to Turkey, and I was going to get to spend time in the temples with the whirling dervishes. And I was really excited about that. I've never been to Rome. I was going to be in the Colosseum on my birthday, and I had this big trip planned, my spiritual journey, and it started coming about, and I had been on the road nonstop, and really my body was saying, James, take care of me. And so I stepped back, and I said, you know what? The last thing I need to do right now is globetrot all over again, and that's all I've been doing. And so I canceled the trip, and I stayed home. I sequestered myself. I took some spa days, and I just took care of my body and rested and relaxed. Now, that's part of duality, because there's a part of me that missed that spiritual journey, but I also, from a position of mastery, if I'm good at it, I step back and say, hey, you know what? This is what it is right now, and it's part of me fulfilling my destiny, and so I'm going to be grateful for it and embrace it.
You know what's interesting about that, too? It's like, that would that happened before all of this media took off, right?
Well, it was starting to happen then. You know, I was on Larry King the first time in October.
Okay,
believe,
so it was right around
there. So, yeah, I mean, things were going gangbusters there.
Mm-hmm. Because it's almost like I was going to say divine intervention, perhaps, you know, that could see beyond and how busy you'd be now.
Yeah, you know, because I, you know, it's really important too, and I took the whole month of December off. You know, one of the things I know you're aware of, Nicole, is that I have trademarked and I teach a concept called harmonic wealth. And, you know, a lot of people think wealth is money, but the fact that you can go after the money and get rich, you're going to be wealthy. You know, if you trace the word wealth back to its origin, it really means well-being. And so harmonic wealth is a state of harmony and well-being in the five key areas of your life: financial, relational, intellectual, physical, and spiritual. And I really believe that. And I really practice that. And so part of that means that I've got to take the time for me, you know, for my spiritual practices as well as taking care of my body and my exercise and my rest. I took the whole month of December off and just really unplugged and rejuvenated and went to Hawaii and just, you know, had my spiritual time there, which got me really ready to rock and roll in January, because I haven't stopped since January 1.
Wow. 2007 is panning out for you.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is, but I'm on my way. You know, I have that 8-day event in Kona every year in April called Modern Magic, and I'm on my way to that in April. So I'm going to be the whole month in one of my spiritual homes, which is Kona, here right around the corner. April's almost here.
Wow. It's going fast.
Yeah, I've got a whole week scheduled for me in the 1st of April, and then I run Modern Magic for 8 days, and then I'm taking a few days off in between, and then I have a brand new program that's invitation only called The Quickening, which is a 5-day event, very profound, which gets into esoteric teachings and philosophies and release methods and healing methodologies. And so I'm going to be there in Kona for about 5 weeks. I'm really, really looking forward to that, because I've got, you know, some downtime as well as some real fun things. You know, Modern Magic is the event that you and your listeners and those of us like-minded individuals into mysticism really, really, really love, because it's an esoteric school of thought. We get into everything from, you know, hermetics to alchemy and shamanism and, I mean, Kabbalah, numerology, you name it. It's really a fun event for me to do.
It sounds fun and intriguing. So I'll make sure we post up the link. People can find out more about your programs and such. And on a closing note, I just wanted to let you know about something. One of the last times we talked, we had talked specifically about law of attraction and manifesting real-world results and kind of stepping beyond that three-dimensional linear process. I had actually used weight as an example, my own personal challenge and journey, and I wanted to actually extend to thanks and great gratitude. I've had such adventures, and revisited that interview personally and also with my audience many times since then, because it was very powerful, and I was actually able to have great success using that.
I am so happy to hear that. Congratulations.
Yes. I'm actually, as we speak, on my way to perform my very first belly dance solo, God help us all. So,
well, get it on film. Get it on film.
So I had to thank you, because that was probably one of the most powerful interviews on News for the Soul. And I want to thank you and honor you for doing what you do. And hey, who better to be the personal development rock star?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm going to just assume that your span and traffic is increasing too, because I cannot tell you how many people come up to me as I'm doing these events all around the country and say, hey, you know, I listened to your interview on News for the Soul about Egypt, or I listened to your interview about going to Brazil. And so hopefully it's a win-win relationship that a lot of people are finding you and what you're doing at greater levels because they're finding me, and vice versa.
Yes, it's a win-win all the way around, and that's the thing I kept thinking when I saw all of you guys on the Larry King panel and later on Oprah. It was like, you know, this is a win for everyone.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
So yay us, and let's see where it goes from here. But any time that you can squeak me in for an interview and keep me in the loop.
I will. I'd love to, and I'm always going to have a special place in my heart for you and what you're doing, you know, continually driving people to your site, because they're asking me deeper and deeper questions. You know, it's really, and I know we're winding down here, but it's really funny, because at one point my publicity team was saying, oh my God, James, you know, you're on Oprah, and maybe people shouldn't know about your Egypt journeys and your Brazil journeys and so on and so forth. And I kind of, from a third-person position, got in the wind of, hey, what people were thinking, this, that, or the other, and and I know that there was some communication back and forth, but here's the bottom line. I mean, I am who I am, and all of those things contribute to our own growth and development, and I really believe that people are more open-minded to what we're talking about, and recognizing that there are things beyond the tangible seen realm, and as we can understand those and tap into those, then we create greater and greater results in our lives. So keep doing what you're doing, and thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, James. All the best. Keep us in the James Ray loop, jamesray.com. That's where you go. And the adventure continues here on News for the Soul. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thanks, James.
Thank you, Nicole. That was fun.
In December 2005, News for the Soul host Nicole Whitney experienced the most dramatic, life-changing psychic reading of her life. In that brief 10-minute mini-session, she released years of emotional baggage when Carrie O'Connor connected with a recently deceased family member, bringing Nicole a life-changing message from beyond the grave. Since that fateful day, Nicole has invited Carrie O'Connor on as a regular News for the Soul guest to do readings on the air. But you do not have to wait. Carrie is available for private sessions right now. Nicole has laughingly suggested wearing goggles and a helmet for these sessions because of the powerful energy that seems to come through Carrie when she's doing a reading. But don't take our word for it. Experience it for yourself. So pack up your goggles and helmet and book your life-changing session with Carrie O'Connor today. Go to InsideOut-OutsideIn.com. That's InsideOut-OutsideIn.com.
Who are you? Why are you here? What is the meaning of life? These burning questions have plagued mankind throughout our existence. How would you like to experience a process that would allow you to have some of the answers? Answers that would cause you to live with higher awareness and deeper authenticity from now on? Well, you can. Warrior Sage is offering an experiential 5-day enlightenment workshop called Illumination Intensive. Regularly about $3,000 to attend, Satyen Raja of Warrior Sage is offering this life-changing 5-day course to News for the Soul listeners totally for free. That's right. The tuition has been completely waived for all News for the Soul listeners. Satyen says this experience is so profound, he wants to share it with the world. So don't miss out on this special opportunity. To have your own direct experience of awakening with Warrior Sage, go to illuminationintensive.com now and tell them News for the Soul sent you. That's illuminationintensive.com.
Attention indigos, healers, cultural creatives, and agents of social change. Are you ready to act upon your inner wisdom and step forward into your life purpose? With 16 years of hands-on real-world results, empowerment specialist Robert Moonsong is available to help as a visionary guide to authentic spiritual growth and awakening. To subscribe for free or find out about upcoming teleclasses, visit robertmoonsong.com now. That's robertmoonsong.com.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
That unresolved fear in my father had come down to this little boy, who also carried those fears with him, so we're the product of many generations of insecurities and so on.
So you actually, what I hear you say is you actually process through on an emotional issue and...
and finished with that particular issue. Yeah, and I went through a myriad of experiences. I mean, in the course of 4 hours, 20, 30, 40 things may come up from your life. You know?
So it was like therapy in a cup.
It's therapy. Yeah.
All right, that's pretty interesting.
It's therapy in a cup.
So what I was trying to understand, though, I mean, it was specific things, about real issues in your life. It wasn't like this abstract acid trip.
Oh, no. I mean, for example, I have a friend who injured her hip dancing. And in the ayahuasca journey, these beings came and literally repaired her hip.
Physically?
Physically. Like, she never had the hip problem ever again.
If you consider that there is a possibility that the brain of humans is common knowledge that humans use a very small percentage of their brain.
Some of us smaller than others.
video from the uplifting to the unexplained. And our next guest, you've heard of him undoubtedly, Conversations with God. Author and visionary behind the Humanities Team, Neil Donald Walsh, is here with us talking about the Humanities Team. Let's bring him on. Welcome back to News for the Soul, Neil Donald Walsh.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here. Left open. So you're right. You're profoundly correct. And while this is not an appropriate time to be deeply critical of what's happening down there in the Gulf area, it is an opportunity for us to receive the message that this tragedy has brought to humanity. Life, you know, is a process that brings life messages about life itself. Life informs life about life through the process of life itself.
Hello, and we are delighted to be here in the land of much light, for indeed we feel most delightful to be with those who are able to hold, see, be, and offer light to many. We welcome and say hello to you.
Hello.
Yay.
We had a question from Hank in Texas. He wants to know if we can really, truly, honest to goodness, levitate.
Yes.
How do we levitate?
By realizing that the air that you perceive is an illusion. It's not air. It can be just as much earth as anything else. In other words, create it for what it is. See it for the solid that you perceive it to be. Change your perception of it. And then simply move up. 19 individuals throughout the planet that are actually, at this moment, levitating.
That means that we can do anything.
Yes. You've walked on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't you walk on air? What's to stop you?
See, it's the mind that's stopping us.
Exactly. Your mind. Start taking over your mind. Start commanding your mind. And you'll find that your existence will change.
So you're saying we can walk in water?
Yes.
How would you summarize the Sark philosophy?
The Sark philosophy is that's a great question. It's about being who you actually are instead of who you idealize that you would be, or it's about being creatively alive and all that that means, and investigating your dark places. And as I always remind people, you can use a flashlight. And being splendidly imperfect and giving yourself permission to live what I call a juicy life, a succulent wild life.
And everyone gets a unique name, and I feel into that. I use my intuition to draw upon a name which suits that person.
Most people in that room later had said, I mean, it was like you were seeing into them. So how did you perfect that skill?
Boy, when you do a lot of work on yourself, and I've been involved in studying with great teachers and masters since I've been a kid, when you learn more about every which way your own mind and ego and your own shells work, and then when you've helped facilitate people, which I've done now for over 20 years, then just your intuition with people develops. And you've seen me work, Nicole. I really love people, and I think you can learn all the techniques in the world, but unless you love someone, you're not really going to get to the truth of them.
It was Terrence McKenna who said, to have a great experience with ayahuasca, you have to take a big dose. And I really wanted to have that ultimate death God experience. And, you know, again, he didn't speak English, but he did say, he turned to the interpreter and said, "Una boca grande," which I knew
what he was
saying. Yeah, the big glass. He's chanting, he's blessing the ayahuasca, we're putting our intention into it, and we're intense. I'm kneeling in front of this, you know, roughly carved altar, and I see the boca grande, you know. I mean, it is 3 to 4 times the size of what he's given everyone else. I was sweating. I mean, my heart was beating. I was thinking, okay, you know, do I really want to do this? Did you get sick when you took it?
Well, it's interesting. That's what I was saying. It was all about letting go. And when I didn't know I was going to drink until the shaman handed me the cup, and I actually sipped.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to not do something out of fear, and I had so much apprehension coming up. The same thing for me. It has to be really reverent and safe and, you know, ceremonial, and it's
yeah.
not, you know. And I couldn't discern if it was the fear voice or not. So once I did sip, I decided, okay, that's it. Nothing's coming out of any orifice whatsoever. So I walked down.
And he said something about, he'd been getting sick, you know, every time he'd take it. I mean, and a lot of people do, and the shaman will tell you that's how you purge. You know, that's how you're purging those negative energies out of your body. And so, you know, some people purge out of, you know, without getting too... Well, here we go. Purge out of both ends simultaneously. I mean, it's not a pretty sight. I had this real thing. I had never once gotten sick. Anytime I'd taken ayahuasca, I just had not gotten sick. And I made that comment to him in the afternoon, and the moment I said it, I thought, you know what? I should have not said it. You know, because I was almost like wearing it like a badge of courage, which that had to go to. So here I am, I drink this big glass, and you know, I knew that within about 45 minutes, it takes a little while to come on, within 45 minutes, under an hour, I'd be jettisoned into this geometric dome. Here I am in this fractal dome, and all of a sudden, my stomach is turning knots. I mean, I'm flashing back and forth between out of body, in body, my stomach's turning knots, and I'm thinking, no, I'm mm-hmm. going to control this, just breathe, my body's shaking, I'm trying to ground myself on the ground, I've got my hands, you know, on the jungle floor, laying on this little rice mat, and I am getting sick. This voice said to me, you know what, James, get over yourself and let it go, you know, and I was like, I don't want to get sick, I don't get sick, you know, I don't get sick, you know, I'm James Ray, and, you know, get over yourself. You get sick and let it go. I'm like, okay. So I open my eyes, and I have stuck myself way back in the corner in the maloka so I could kind of be in my own energy space. And I tried to sit up. I fell down. I tried to sit up. I fell. I had no motor skills. And I'm like, gosh, you know, not only am I going to have to get sick, but I'm going to have to get carried out into the jungle. You know, I'm going to have to call for help. And you know, I don't want to do that. It was such crap. It really was. And finally, I was just like, you know what? Just get over it and do whatever you need to do and humble yourself and get your butt out there and get sick if that's what you need to do. And if you need to get carried, get carried. The moment I released that, I was able to sit up. I couldn't stand up, but I had to crawl. So I'm crawling on my hands and knees. And it felt like a block. I mean, I don't know how long it was, but it was far. And I'm crawling on my hands and knees trying to hold myself together. I finally get out onto the jungle floor, and it just starts. I mean, not only do I get sick, but I am like heaving, and it's loud, and it's, I mean, it's and it felt so damn good. I can't even tell you. And you know, the shaman tell you that if you really, really get this big release, that a serpent will come out of you. Well, I swear to you, this black projectile came out of me, and it was a snake, and it went onto the jungle floor, and it slithered away, and I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was so black and so solid and so alive. And when I got done, I'm all humble. And I'm kneeling on the jungle floor, and I look up, I can see the stars, and I just felt so good. I'm like, you know, this was the coolest thing, just getting over myself and letting it go. And I needed to. I really did.
My job fell apart, my income fell apart, my sense of self fell apart when, as I mentioned earlier, I was the subject of fantastic, unprecedented, I have to say, and I'm not exaggerating, ridicule in this country of one person in the early 90s. And everything that was my sense of me, that was my sense of the security of this is what I am and this is my security, financial, in terms of employment, in terms of the way the public perceived me, not with respect as they did before, but as a madman, all that fell apart. All that structure of what I thought I was collapsed. And only when it collapsed could the other level of me come forward and start to take me in a different direction. Because if you really wanted to go for it, then it will happen. But then comes the challenge. When things get difficult, don't walk away. Keep with it. Because what's happening, although it's not very pleasant, is that the you that has held you in, or the perception of you which has held you in the prison cell, in servitude, is breaking down. Let it go. Let it break down. Because when it's gone, something is going to emerge through the wreckage that you're going to like.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Hey, this is Dave Morehouse, and you're listening to News for the Soul.
Hello, everybody. This is Damian Brinkley. Welcome to the hearts and minds of Infoleman. This is News for the Soul.
It's not just a show. It's a movement. You're listening to News for the Soul, the number one life-changing radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL, and the largest free life-changing audio resource on the web. We feature the top luminaries in the evolution of human consciousness and have kept all of our shows all free, all of the time, for the world to hear. In a recent listener survey, News for the Soul listeners responded with overwhelming appreciation and praise, which they summarized with this one powerful statement. News for the Soul is not just a show, it's a movement. Go to newsforthesoul.com to see for yourself. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
From the heart of Vancouver, what a great place to bring News for the Soul.
I know, isn't it perfect? I remember that movie did, so Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like that for real.
I think reasonably accurate, too, honey.
Oh, that's an understatement, honey.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our hearts and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Well, Daniel just mentioned the heart attack. That is how he died, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
He had two heart attacks, right off one heart after the other.
Yeah, that's
and
what
I
said.
Wow.
No, I had him. I have him.
You know, the whole thing about the spirituality and the wealth or sustainability not going together, I just think is the biggest load of crap, you know? I mean, what have you got...
Look at this girl.
Well, really, what have you got to give anyone if you've got nothing?
Buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy, because Kansas is going bye-bye.
Yes, I had this really bizarre experience where I got sucked through a wall, like a solid wall.
During the time that I was knocked unconscious, an angel came to me.
people's solidity began to morph with the geometries. So you'd see little bits of their, like their hand began to go missing.
And this particular angel, as I recount in the book, said to me that I had chosen the wrong path in life, that I was to choose a new path, and it was to be a path of peace. I was to teach peace.
Lots of amazing things coming up for this hour. News for the Soul. Seatbelt back in 1 minute.
I'd have to believe that the times that we're in are very important to us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Because if we're not really, really careful in paying and complimenting News for the Soul, we're about to find ourselves wrapped up in something that will literally encompass the world.
Yeah.
And not from the viewpoint that we're looking at it from.
So tonight, it is an empowerment, a place to become aware, a place to change, a place to not become fear-based, but become loving.
Let's all take that deep breath.
Staying connected to each other and reminding each other about, you know, holding this energy, not getting sucked up into all that, like all that garbage on TV for the last 3 days, just showing all the reruns of all the people falling out of the skyscrapers on the 11th, and, you know, just over and over wallowing in the low frequency.
Creating a mindset. Though.
Exactly.
So that's the mindset. That is a controlled mindset to change people's consciousness,
exactly.
To create a way at which that they can be controlled to make a decision, mm-hmm. Like war or not war.
Totally. You know, I figure, hey, talk is cheap. I probably shouldn't say on a talk show, but I mean, compared to doing and experiencing, it's cheap, right?
So experiencing
let's
is
experience some of what you do now. They're driving, should they be concerned?
No. But turn the radio up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Shinkuntia, Tinakwehuta, grandfather. Carry me, grandfather. Shatehuka. Tinakwehuta! Tinakwehuta, grandfather. Kweya Chia! We are all it, and that's really what cosmic consciousness is about. I mean, Christ consciousness was the last age. We're in cosmic consciousness now, and cosmic consciousness is, oh God, we all are God.
You've just tuned in, and you're wondering what the heck you've just tuned into.
We need to do that. I don't care if it's prayer, I don't care if it's conversation, I don't care what it is, but the one thing that people need to do is hold themselves accountable for their reactions and for the manner in which they interpret the nature of the crisis that is now at work on this planet.
Done between 90, 95, 98. And what they're telling us, Nicole, first of all, is they are confirming beyond any shadow of a doubt that we communicate with our world through a previously unrecognized form of energy. I'm not going to say it's new. It appears to have been there for a long time, but it's never been recognized. This form of energy works beyond the bounds of space and time. Information moves through this field of energy faster than the principles of light say that it should. This is one of the mysteries. So,
let's let this night and what News for the Soul is about, like we always say, it's news for the soul. It's not for the conscious as much as it is for the true spiritual side of us that drives the nature of our lives, that makes us see. It makes us seek understanding and yearn to be closer and closer to what is true reality.
This is a telephone call where I'm speaking with the mother of a 23-month-year-old child. At the beginning of the clip, you hear the mother talking, you hear me laugh, and you hear the baby go goo-goo gaga. Let's listen together. Entirely only indecipherable baby babble. But backwards, the secret message, I can hear this child say, I spank him.
Okay, little hairs on my neck going up.
Now, they're starting to study the space between the molecules. Danny called it the exotic exome 9-0-0. And what they found is the space between the molecules vibrate to the exact same frequency as love. So in my book, another word for love is God. So when they say love is the glue that binds the universe together and love is all there is, science is actually starting to prove that.
Visit newsforthesoul.com anytime to hear all of our shows, read positive news, and interact with like-minded people from around the world. Now let's get back to the show. Here's a moment dedicated to your empowerment, brought to you by James Ray.
Hi, this is James Arthur Ray. Everyone talks about transcending the ego, but how do we make this important mystical principle a practical reality in our lives? Ego is a Latin term simply meaning I. Therefore, your ego is nothing more than the identity and world model you have created in your own mind. Are you with me? The challenge is that left unchecked, you build a life of rote and routine that steals the very juice and adventure that you're here to experience. One way to tame your ego is to take it off guard. Break your routine. Do something your current self-image could never imagine you doing. Here's an example. For 3 years, I disciplined myself to get up at 4 a.m. every morning to exercise and meditate, no matter what time I'd gone to bed, and no matter how I felt when I woke up. As you might imagine, this was tough, and my ego often screamed like mad. After 3 years, this practice had become a habit, so it was time to change again. This time, I would sleep until I woke up on my own, no matter what. If my eyes opened at noon, so be it. I changed my schedule to accommodate my sleep, and the whole thing really drove my ego mad. The internal chatter told me I was lazy and unproductive. Believe it or not, I longed to go back to those 4 a.m. wake-up calls. The once uncomfortable had become comfortable. But you know what? The best time to prove you are a spiritual warrior and truly in charge of your own life is when your ego nags you not to do something that is uncomfortable. Do it anyway. Do crazy things to break habitual routines that could dull your senses and steal your power, like take ice-cold showers if you're used to hot ones. This will really tick your ego off. Eat while others are sleeping. Sleep when others are working. Move frequently, or at least change your environment, living situations. Break your routine. Give away your favorite piece of clothing or furniture, just to prove to ego self that you are non-attached and not defined by externals. Do this, and remind yourself that you are committed to a life of power, not weakness. That you are in charge, not your whiny, energy vampire ego, or even your physical body. So let me ask you, do you need a certain lifestyle or level of comfort, predictability, or control for your happiness? How much energy do you expend daily on projecting and protecting your desired self-image? How much of your life is lived in a routine and a rut? And most importantly, how can you shake things up and reclaim your power? This is James Arthur Ray, asking you to stop the world and use the principles you're learning here to realize your infinite self.
Find out more about James Ray by visiting jamesray.com/win. That's jamesray.com/win. And tune in next week to hear more here on News for the Soul. And let's get back to the show.
This has been News for the Soul with Nicole Whitney. Visit us anytime online at www.newsforthesoul.com, where you can listen to all our previously aired shows at any time and so much more. Have a great week, and remember, what you focus on expands.